ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, look, I've looked at all the evidence. The evidence is overwhelming. There is a God. But I choose to believe that which is not proven, evolution, because I don't want to believe in God. Well, that's a choice on your part. But don't tell me it's science. That's faith. You have the faith that there is no God. I look at the evidence, I say there's got to be a God, because I see his handiwork everywhere. You see, for these Jewish religious leaders, it didn't matter all the evidence that they had seen, because they had unbelief. Look at verses 21 and 22 here in John chapter 2. We're told, but he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. The ultimate sign, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's the greatest sign, and Jesus gave the sign to the Jewish religious leaders. They didn't see it here in John chapter 2. They definitely did not see it in Matthew chapter 12, the resurrection. Because without the resurrection, our faith is empty. It's futile. We are still lost in our sins. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 that we should be the most pitied people if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. But he says Christ has risen. Praise God for that. The tomb's empty. We have the forgiveness of sins. Matthew 12, verses 39 and 40. Listen again. An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, the Messiah is going to be in the belly of the earth, and then he's going to rise again. And I believe he preached to the Old Testament saints who died believing in the coming Messiah by faith, and now they received him. Keep in mind, prior to the death and resurrection of Jesus, all who died went down to Sheol. And there were two compartments in Sheol, one for those who died out of the faith and they were tormented. The other side was Abraham's bosom. They were comforted until the Messiah came and set them free. And the only part of Sheol that's occupied today is for those who have died rejecting Jesus Christ as the Messiah. All believers go to be with the Lord when they die. But these unbelievers will remain in Sheol until the great white throne judgment, and then they will be cast into the lake of fire, eternal darkness. And here's the thing. Now, people laugh at the story of Jonah. They don't want to believe it. Jesus says it was real. He didn't say like Jonah, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish. I'm going to be in the belly of the earth. Here's the sad thing. Jesus rose from the grave. News spread, right? And what did the Jewish religious leaders try to do? To cover up the truth. Why? Because they couldn't handle it. In Matthew 28, verses 11 through 15, after the death and resurrection of Jesus, it says, now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. If this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Isn't that interesting? Okay, news is spread. Jesus rose from the grave. These soldiers come, they tell, hey, he's gone. The tomb's empty. They should have been put to death. But the Jewish religious leader said, you go tell them that the disciples of Jesus stole his body. Here's some money. And if the governor gets upset, he's going to try and put you in prison, kill you for not doing your job, we'll take care of it. We got an in with them. They had to work to cover that truth up. It was right there before them. He rose from the grave. The tomb's empty. They should have been saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. We missed it, but now we see it. But they didn't. And even if they rejected everything else that Jesus did, here was the sign of the resurrection. Now, people laugh at that today. Oh, you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Is there any evidence for it? I find that interesting. I was given a book this morning from someone about Simon Greenleaf. He was a lawyer, brilliant lawyer. And his students said, hey, why don't you try and put evidence for the resurrection on trial and see if there's enough evidence to prove the resurrection is true. He was not a believer. He did, and he became a believer because the resurrection, the evidence for the resurrection was so overwhelming. And I think this is important for us to understand. If we deny the historical accounts because we're not there, we have to probably deny every part of history, right? How many of you were there when Abraham Lincoln got shot? How many of you were there when George Washington crossed the Delaware? None of us were. I know you guys think I'm getting older, but not that old. Think about that. None of us were there. What do we rely on? Eyewitness evidence. Eyewitness evidence tells us what happened in the past. Can it be a little jaded? It could be. But when you have multiple people telling the same story, you got to believe there's truth to that, and that's why there's history. As you look at or read what the scholars have written, everyone concedes that Jesus was dead after his crucifixion. No one believes that he passed out, and then when he was in the cool of the tomb, he woke up. I mean, if you believe that, let me do what was done to Jesus to you and see how you handle that. You'll be dead. You can't survive that. As far as I know, there has never been a person who survived crucifixion. The Romans knew how to put people to death. And remember that the other two criminals on either side of Jesus weren't dead yet? And what did they do to speed up their death? They broke their legs. Why? So they couldn't push up and breathe. And so they died quicker. So we know he died, but what about rising from the dead? Again, when you look at it, were there disciples of Jesus that saw him risen? Absolutely. But Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 talks about over 500 witnesses. Many are still alive. When he wrote 1 Corinthians, he said, you could go check it out for yourself. These people saw the risen Lord. The tomb is empty. There are sources outside the New Testament confirming the fact that Jesus rose from the grave. And think about this. All the apostles of Jesus were martyred for their faith except for John. He was the only one who wasn't martyred for his faith in Jesus. Would they die for a lie? Some people say, well, there have been others who have died for lies. But they didn't know it was a lie. There's been many people who died in cults for their faith, but they didn't believe it was a lie. They believed it was the truth. If you knew something was a lie, Jesus didn't really rise from the grave. We stole the body, or his body was missing somehow, someone stole it, and you were going to be put to death for your faith, don't you think at least one of them would have said, just kidding, he's really not dead. We put him, you know, about two blocks down the road and he's buried in a grave over there. You think just one of them would have said that, but they didn't. In fact, this was such an important issue that the Jewish religious leader said, made up a lie so people wouldn't believe that Jesus rose from the grave. That's how secure the resurrection was. If Jesus didn't rise from the grave, then why are we worshiping him? He's not God. But he is worthy of our worship. He did rise from the grave. And that gives us great assurance, right? If he rose, we too will rise one day. I mean, think about it. If you're an evolutionist, you live 60, 70, 80, 90 years, maybe 100, if you're lucky or unlucky, depending on how healthy you are. And life is over? That's it? Oblivion? No. We will live forever. You just got to choose where you want to live. With the Lord or apart from him in outer darkness. Why outer darkness? Because Jesus is the light. You remove God out of the picture, and your eternity is in darkness. God is sovereign over life and death. I rest in that. That tells me he's in control of my life. I'm not going to die a moment too late or a moment too soon. I'm going to die right on time. I mean, it'd be nice if we had expiration dates on the bottom of our feet, right? Wouldn't that be awesome? Oh, I've got like 3 more years left. None of us know. Lord, teach me to number my days, right? I want to live to the fullest. My wife doesn't like this, but I've told you before that for me, the greatest way to leave this earth would be from the pulpit when I finish up, say amen, and I'm with the Lord. Now, that'd be kind of bad for you guys, but, you know, hey, I'm with the Lord, so that would be a great way to go, right? we will live forever. Jesus rose, we too will rise again. And I'm so thankful for that. The only reason we can live with him is because he died for us. He paid in full the penalty for our sins. His blood has cleansed us from every single sin we will ever commit or have committed. And the devil messes with our mind. Oh, you think you're a Christian? God doesn't love you. Look at the way you acted. Look at the way you behaved. Well, didn't he die for all my sins? Absolutely. Well, doesn't that give me then a license to sin if I know that? No. Why? Because I love him. I'm married to Julie, right? There's no contract, really. She doesn't have a list of things that I have to do and things I can't do. Well, why don't I go out and date other women? Because I love her. I don't need no law to tell me that. Why don't I sin? Because I love the Lord. There's no law that tells me. There's the Lord that tells me. And I obey him because I love him. And it changes everything. Because if I'm going to live by the law, I'm going to die by the law. Because the law is going to show me all my imperfections. And I have to live up to a certain standard. I'll never make it. I'll never attain that standard. But if I know that I'm saved by grace, it just takes that burden off of me. And I can live for him. I like that. Jesus rose from the grave. What a sign that was. What did the Jews say? Give us a sign to show your authority to do these things, basically, is what they were saying. Give us a sign. The ultimate sign is resurrection. Verse 22 here in John 2. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. The scripture spoke of the Messiah rising from the dead. Jesus, the word, spoke to them that he was going to be raised from the dead, and yet they didn't believe, at least for this present time frame. They did believe later on, after he rose. Remember what the Lord said to Thomas in John 20, verse 29. Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Sometimes when people need something supernatural to make them believe, it shows really many times their faith is small or weak or it's superficial. My prayer always is, Lord, help me with my unbelief. First of all, salvation, what a great gift. But now, as I live out my life, Lord, help me with my unbelief. You keep showing me things that you want me to do. Help, give me that faith to take those steps. You know, things are tough. Give me faith, Lord, to endure on, to continue on. The tragedy is, as we read on, we see some superficial faith here. Look at John chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Why didn't Jesus commit himself to those who believed in him? Because their faith was superficial. It was based upon the miracles he did and not the person he was. Again, I call this superficial faith. And Morgan said, if belief is nothing more than admiration for the spectacular, it will create in multitudes applause, but the Son of God can't commit himself to that kind of faith. Now, that's a tough one. I'll give you an example of this. On Palm Sunday, when Jesus rode through Jerusalem as Messiah the King, what did the people shout? Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. They were shouting that. Hosanna means save now. Were they crying out, save us from our sins? Absolutely not. Save us from the Roman persecution. Save us from Roman bondage. Take the throne. We don't want to be in bondage anymore. But that's not why Jesus came the first time. He came to save that which was lost. So things didn't go the way they wanted, right? Not at all. What did they cry out a few days later? Crucify him. Crucify. How do you go from Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord? Put that man to death. You don't think man's fickle? Just watch a quarterback who has a great game 1 week, and then for the next couple weeks, he blows it. And everyone's like, get rid of him! Fire him! Get a new quarterback! That's how fickle we are. And the same is true here. They didn't get what they wanted. Show us a sign. Give us something. Nothing. And they turned on him. Now, I have to admit, when you read, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did, it gets kind of exciting. But that was superficial faith, a faith that was based upon the excitement of miracles, of getting things from Jesus and not a true relationship with him. How can I be so sure? In John 2, verses 24 and 25, it says Jesus didn't commit himself to them. He knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Living Bible says, but Jesus didn't trust them, for he knew mankind to the core. No one needed to tell him how changeable human nature is. That sums it up. There was someone in the scriptures who wanted to be entertained by Jesus. In Luke 23, verses 8 through 12, we're told this. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been at enmity with each other. Herod wanted to be entertained by Jesus. A few magic tricks, you might say. Show me something. Pull a rabbit out of your hat, whatever. When I was either in junior high or high school, my mom worked for this playhouse, and they were doing the play Jesus Christ Superstar. Great music, really bad theology. But as a young kid, I wasn't saved, and I would like the music. But I like what they said about Herod. It was really interesting what they sang about him, because it nails him. This is how it goes. It says, Jesus, I'm overjoyed to meet you face to face. You've been getting quite a name all around the place. Healing cripples, raising from the dead, and now I understand you're God. At least that's what you've said. So you're the Christ, you're the great Jesus Christ. Prove to me that you're divine. Change my water into wine. That's all you need to do. Then I'll know it's all true. Come on, King of the Jews. Isn't that interesting? They nailed what Herod was about. Jesus, you won't believe the hit you've made around here. You're all we talk about, the wonder of the year. Oh, what a pity if it's all a lie. Still, I'm sure that you can rock the cynics if you tried. So you're the Christ, you're the great Jesus Christ. Prove to me that you're no fool. Rock across my swimming pool. If you do that for me, then I'll let you go free. Come on, King of the Jews. And it goes on and on, but it's just interesting because that was Herod. Show me a trick. You know, walk across my swimming pool. You walked on the Sea of Galilee, walk on my swimming pool. Walk across the water. Do some trick for me. Did Jesus come to entertain us? Absolutely not. He came to save us. I find it interesting the church today is around to entertain people. No, we're here to worship God, to build up believers, and to bring people into the kingdom of God. That's what we're about. Jesus didn't come to entertain. He came to save that which was lost. And that should be our mentality as well. Think about the crowds that were watching all of this. Again, Jews, Gentiles, they're watching this all take place. And even here with Herod. He loved to be on the spotlight. So there must have been a lot of people around him as well. So he's mocking Jesus, putting Jesus down. He's not happy because he's not being entertained anymore. Why didn't Jesus answer Herod's questions? Why didn't he do any of this? Because again, Herod wasn't interested in the truth. He was interested in being entertained. And so Herod sends Jesus back to Pilate for the third and last of the civil trials. And again, that's what we're seeing here in John. They wanted to be entertained, not transformed. Look at the miracles. This is great. Remember when Jesus provided food for them? Jesus went to the other side. All the people followed him around. And he said, you've only come because I fed you. You want the physical food. You don't want the spiritual stuff. Now, please understand, I'm not putting down miracles. But where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Can miracles start the process? Yeah, it's a sign, but the end result comes from the word of God. One pastor put it like this as he warns us. There are those who seek miraculous proof that Jesus is real and that he loves them. The search for physical, material, or financial verification of his reality. But theirs is a flimsy, faulty faith built upon a sandbar foundation, because as we will see, Jesus is not committed to those who demand a sign. You see, the problem with signs is that they're never enough. If you base your faith upon signs, you'll always be upset by the one that didn't happen. The prayer that wasn't answered, the healing that didn't come, the payment that didn't arrive. That is why our faith must be built and based not upon what Jesus does, but upon who he is. Who he is as revealed in the word. That is why Paul says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It's the word pointing to the person of Jesus Christ that produces genuine faith. Absolutely. When people come, I want God to bring healing to my marriage. What if it doesn't happen? Are you going to negate God? Are you just going to walk away from him then? What if a loved one is sick and dying of cancer and they die? Oh, that's it. I'm not going to believe God anymore. Then you really never had faith. Because if you truly believe that God is who he is, then it doesn't matter what happens around you. And that goes for what's going on today with all the garbage. I've told you this so many times before, but the world is trying to bring you to a point of hopelessness. And I see so many Christians, watching the news and watching this and watching that, and they just get, oh my gosh, I can't, and they're overwhelmed. Focus back on Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. I guarantee you, he's not worried. Jesus is not biting his fingernails going, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I didn't see that. Coronavirus, this 19th thing, I don't know. What is... Trust in him. Walk by faith. See the salvation that he's going to bring not only to your own life, but to those around you. Miracles don't save. Jesus does through his word. And he knows our hearts. He knows why we do what we do. And his desire is that all that we do is born out of our love for him. We're not looking to get something, but to love him and allow him to use us for his glory. And I'll tell you what, I know who I am. I know the talents that I have. There's not many. I mean, I tried cutting the jungle that was on the side of the church here on Saturday. And I'll give you, this is a little pointer that has nothing to do with the study, but hedge trimmers do not cut fences. They break your hedge trimmers. Public service announcement, so now you all know. Yeah, I'm not very talented. But here's the thing about our God. He loves us so much, guys. But maybe you're wondering this morning, who gave him the authority to do what he did? And if you can come to him and honestly seek him, he'll give you the answer. His declaration of who he is. Look at the resurrection. But tragically, as many listen to what the Lord is saying to them, they can't accept it because of unbelief. And if you struggle here, look to the ultimate sign. The ultimate sign, like I said, is the resurrection. And the evidence is overwhelming. It's not that you can't believe, it's you choose not to believe. That's really the reality. And the key is, Lord, help us not to have that superficial faith, but a faith that's real, that's in love with the Lord, and just not seeking him for what he can give us. God has given us the greatest gift ever. Eternal life with him. Everything else is unbelievable that we have. Is it hard? Yeah. Read Genesis chapter 3. The Lord said it's going to be hard, right? He didn't say it was going to be easy. But through him we can do all things. Thank you, Lord, because I need your help. I can't do it on my own. For those that don't commit themselves to the Lord, he's not going to commit himself to them. But if we love him and want to spend eternity with him, he's ready and willing to make a commitment to each of us if we're willing to make a commitment to him. That's how much he loves us. We see this over and over in the Gospel of John, who Jesus is, Almighty God. 7 miracles he does to prove it. But then you have to have a heart of belief. Lord, not only belief for salvation, but Lord, belief after our salvation to walk daily with you. Because I believe we are living in the greatest time in history besides the start of the church. I think we're here at the end of the church age. And what a responsibility we have to shine for Jesus. We can't do it on our own, Lord. We need you. Help us. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. And Lord, as we look at this sign, the ultimate sign, the resurrection, the evidence is overwhelming. And we're so thankful for that, that our faith is not built upon some flimsy statements, but eyewitness accounts. And we know you love us. And since you rose, we too will rise one day when these bodies go back to the dust of the earth. But until that time, Lord, use us to the fullest. Help our faith to increase daily, Lord, that as we walk with you, we will shine with you. As John said, Lord, less of me and more of you in my life. I don't want people to see me. I want them to see you, Lord. And I have to die to self so they can see you. Help me, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.